Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 17, Text 23. Atava Deva Mayaya Nunam Gatir Agochara Chetaso Vachasas Shapi Bhutanam Iti Nischayaha Hatava Deva Mayaya Nunam Gatir Agochara Chetaso Vachayaschapi Bhutanam Iti Nischayaha. Bhutanam iti nischayaha. Somebody could chant. Matajis. Word for word, Atava, alternatively, Deva, the Lord, Maya, Mayayava, energies, Nunam, very little, Gatihi, movement, Agochara, inconceivable. Chetasaha, either by the mind. Vachasaha, by words. Cha, or. Api, also. Bhutanam, of all living beings. Iti, thus. Nischayaha, concluded. Translation. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. Purport. A question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor, although the devotee knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. Although one knows the ultimate doer, why should one pose himself as ignorant of the actual performer? To answer this doubt, the reply is that the Lord is also not directly responsible, for everything is done by his deputed Maya Shakti, or material energy. The material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord. The personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, and still he was put into doubts by the deluding energy, and thus he refrained from mentioning the supreme cause. This doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and the material energy. The whole atmosphere of this age of Kali is magnified by the deluding energy, and the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paskachade Shatarne. So because of our attraction, because of our desire and hate, our attraction to Maya, and because of desire and hate, we are in this material world trying to enjoy it. But there is no happiness here in this material world. Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita that all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. So in this situation of desire and hate, we're in trying to enjoy the material world. So-called material advancement means advancement of the miseries of the material world, the threefold miseries, advancement of the threefold miseries. So there's different types of miseries. The miseries caused by natural disturbances such as excessive heat and cold, drought, excessive rain, which are caused by the demigods, by our own body and mind, and by other living entities. So by this suffering, it's not possible to become happy in this material world. We are thinking that we have a permanent life here in this material world. Maya is fooling us in this way, that we have a permanent life. In this way, we try to accumulate so many riches and family members and fight among ourselves. But this is simply temporary. If we understand that, then we will get out of this illusion that we have, that we're the enjoyer. Just like the example is given of the great sage. There was one great sage. He knew he was self-realized, and he wasn't concerned about the affairs of the material world. So much so that he was given the benediction that he would live as long as he had hairs on his body. And he was a very hairy sage. And one hair fell out of his body every time Lord Brahma died. So in this way, he was living a very, very long time. So somebody asked him, why are you standing there? He just was standing next to the beach without any shelter or anything. And somebody asked him, why don't you at least build yourself some nice shelter to protect you from the elements? And his reply was, what's the point? It's all temporary. So this is the position of somebody who is self-realized. He understands that the situation is temporary, and he doesn't make elaborate plans to become happy in this material world. He understands this material world is a temporary place and it's full of misery, and the purpose of life is to understand one's real self and go back to home, back to God, and not try to enjoy this material world. Because where's the enjoyment in the material world? where is the point? What's the situation of being comfortable? Everybody wants to be comfortable in this mature world. They don't want any distress. But this word comfortable has no meaning because we are always changing our bodies from one body to another. And we could see this in our life. We are changing our body. First, we had a very small baby's body, then a small boy's body, then a youthful body, and then we get a body of an old man or an old woman. So these material bodies are always changing. So this is our real problem. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dehi no smin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dirastya tarm namuryati. As the body soul continually passes in this body from boy to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. So we are constantly changing, but we're remembering. Even though we are changing our bodies, we can remember what we were doing. Just like when I was a little boy, I used to play with little red flowers from the coral tree that would fly through the air and crash, and so many imaginations as children do. They imagine like that. But I could remember those things. Although my body has changed, I could remember those things. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentioned this is proof that the soul is eternal. Because even though the body is changing, we are the same person. Because we can remember that. So as we are changing in this lifetime, this body, so similarly, when we give up this body, we'll also accept another body according to our activities. If we act like godly, we will attain the godly atmosphere. And if we act like an animal, then we'll attain the position of a cat or a dog. So according to mentality, at the time of death, we accept a certain type of body. So it's mentioned here that Maya creates doubts for the soul. The doubts are there. Lack of faith is there. And as Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, for the doubting soul, there is neither happiness in this world nor the next. So these are the doubts. We have doubts, so many doubts. But these doubts can be purified or overcome by the association of devotees. By the association of devotees, one attains faith. One gradually becomes more and more faithful in the process of Krishna consciousness. In fact, faith is the main quality of spiritual advancement. There's so many stages in devotional service. We have some initial faith, and then there's association, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, nartha navritti. So many different stages of devotional service, but these are all based on faith. And when we attain the topmost platform of prema bhakti, we have complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Lord Chaitanya, he had full faith that when he saw Jagannath, he understood this is the Supreme Personality of God, and he fainted. So this faith is a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness, and one of Maya's duties is to create doubts. One of her thankless tasks is to create doubts in the conditioned souls. So we are thinking that we are the masters of the material world, that we are not servants. But by the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, we understand our real position. So to understand Krishna, to get out of the material world, we have to... And to overcome Maya, we have to understand Krishna and agree to accept his instructions. So his instructions are there. They are given by the spiritual master, by the Bhagavad Gita, by the Vedic scriptures. And if we simply try to understand these and apply these in our life, then we'll attain perfection. And the process of Krishna consciousness begins by serving the devotees, just like the example is given of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, even though he was considered to have been in a very low family, he was a son of a maidservant. simply by serving the Bhaktivedantas, he elevated himself in spiritual life. So it is recommended that one should serve the devotees of the Lord. In this way, one could advance in spiritual life. One should find a devotee and serve him and accept him as a spiritual master. And the spiritual master is a transparent medium by which one can see the Supreme Lord. And by serving him, one can advance in Krishna consciousness in proportion to the service he renders. Krishna consents to be seen by that devotee. So we cannot approach Krishna directly. Krishna says, or Krishna told Arjuna in the Adi Purana, that those who are my devotee are actually not my those who say that they are my devotee are not my devotee, but those who are the devotee of my devotee are actually my devotee. So we have to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And the more we become the servant of the servant of the servant, the more we become advanced. So in this way, we have to approach the devotees of Krishna. Krishna is like the sun, and the servants are just like the sunshine. So without the sunshine, there's no meaning to the word sun. And without the sun, there's no meaning to the sunshine. And just like Krishna, without Radharani, there's no meaning to the word Krishna. Without Krishna, there's no meaning to the word Radharani. So both things have to be there. And we have to serve the devotees. We have to serve, and by serving the devotees, Krishna becomes pleased. Just like if you want to please a very important man, then you please his child. It's very difficult to make an important man happy, but if you please his child by simply giving him a little piece of candy, then the big man becomes very much pleased. So to get out of this material nature, to get out of the clutches of Maya, people have to follow the principles, these religious principles, as we've been discussing here in this chapter, namely the principles of austerity, truthfulness, mercy, and cleanliness. So these principles are destroyed by various sinful activities. So cleanliness is destroyed by too much female association or prostitution. And truthfulness is destroyed by pride, is destroyed by gambling. Mercy is destroyed by intoxication. And austerity is destroyed by pride, either real or artificial. So in this way, we have to strictly follow these principles. In this way, we could get out of the clutches of Maya. And this is the beginning of spiritual life. In the beginning of spiritual life, one promises to follow these different principles of religion, namely no intoxication, no meeting, no gambling, no illicit sex. And by following these, one has a solid footing in devotional life and one could progress. But without these things, there's no possibility of advancing in spiritual life. And along with that, we have to chant the holy name of the Lord. Without chanting Hare Krishna, without regularly chanting, so many things will go wrong. So many things. Without regularly chanting Hare Krishna, then Krishna will not accept our offerings. Without chanting Hare Krishna, we won't 16 rounds a day, we won't have sufficient strength to follow the four regulated principles. We won't have sufficient strength to rise up early in the morning. So this is very important to hear and to chant the holy name of the Lord. And the more we hear about Krishna, the more we become purified. Because Krishna is non-different from his name, his quality, his pastimes, and his paraphernalia. So in this way, by hearing about him, we associate with him. This is a non-dual aspect of the Supreme Lord. He's non-different from his name, his quality, his aspects, like that. So we understand there's duality in this world. There's a servant and the master. But in certain aspects, there's non-dual. And this refers to Krishna and his different aspects, his non-dual aspects. So in this world is full of fear. Everybody is very fearful. And by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one could become free from fear. There's so many people engage in this material world, they engage basically in the animal propensities of life, especially in this age of Kali, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But of all these activities, the fearing element is the most prominent. And this fearing element can be overcome because we don't know what's going to happen. Any moment, we can be in a very dangerous position. We could immediately have a heart attack and die. We could rock across Venice Boulevard and get hit by a car and immediately leave our bodies. So we're always in a fearful position. But by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we will be free from all fearful conditions of life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, by engaging in devotional service, we purify ourselves, and then we are able to become purified. So the spirit soul has, by nature, we are eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. But now we are in the conditioned state. We're full of ignorance, we're full of suffering, and we're in a temporary situation. But by engaging in devotional service, we can escape the clutches of Maya by developing the potencies, reviving our potencies of chit and ananda, knowledge and bliss. But once we attain these potencies, then we'll be able to go back to home, back to Godhead, and resume our sought feature of eternity. So we have to be intelligent. Intelligence means to stop death. This is real intelligence. The scientists, they are trying to create so many things. People think they're so intelligent, but they cannot stop death. That is real intelligence, to stop death. So we challenge them that if you're so intelligent, then won't you create some chemicals so that you can instruct your students that when you leave your body, when you die, just like Professor Einstein, why didn't he tell his students, I'm so intelligent, so I created a chemical. And when I die, you just inject this chemical into my body and I will again come back to life. No, he couldn't do this. They cannot do this. They're so intelligent, so-called intelligent, but they cannot solve the real problems of life. The real problems of life are birth, death, disease, and old age. And without solving these things, everything else simply has no value. No value at all. So we have to use our intelligence to get out of this dangerous position of the material world where there's danger at every step. This material world is known as danger at every step. Every step there is danger, no matter what position you're in. You may think that I'm very safe, I have a very nice boat, but this boat could be in a storm and sink. Or I'm in a very expensive new jet airplane, and I'm flying, I have a good captain, everything's fine. But at any moment, one little piece of the airplane could fall apart, or some birds could fly into the jet engine, and automatically the thing will collapse and crash. So there's no safe position in this material world. The only when you surrender to Krishna, only when you get on the land, can you actually be safe. If you're in the air, in an airplane, or if you're in the water, in a boat, that's not a natural position. Our natural position is to be on the land, to be at Krishna's lotus feet. Only that shelter will protect us from the onslaughts of material nature. Everything else is simply artificial. So we have to understand that, and we have to understand that we cannot make plans, we cannot manufacture any ideas in this material world to become happy. That's a misuse of our intelligence. We have to understand that we don't belong in this material world and that we have to strive to get out of it. Understanding, we have to understand who we are, who is God, what is this world, and what is our interrelation, and what is the interrelationship between all these things. So to understand Krishna consciousness, to understand the goal of life, two things are required. We have to have philosophy and we have to have religion. For religion without philosophy is fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. This was stated by Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. So both things have to be there. And philosophy, understanding God through philosophy means through logic. Blind faith is not our business. And philosophy means practical application, for mere theory has no value. So in Krishna consciousness, we say that example is better than precept. We have to show by our own example. We may have so many precepts, we may preach so much, I may say so much, but the actual test is given by showing by example. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada came to America, he was able to make so many devotees. Although the Bhagavad Gita was here in various forms before Srila Prabhupada came, but because there was no devotee showing people, practicing Krishna consciousness, nobody can understand how to take up Krishna consciousness. So in this way, example is better than precept. So to advance in Krishna consciousness, to get out of the clutches of Maya, we have to understand that this world is temporary, and we have to be very much renounced, detached from this material world. Jnana and Vairagya, these things, two things are necessary in order to advance in Krishna consciousness, knowledge and renunciation. So the whole Sanatana Dharma system, the system, or Varnashrama system, is the path of renunciation. So we see in the different ashrams, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, that of all the ashrams, only the Grihastha was allowed association with women. And even that was very strict. Even Lord Chaitanya, he showed by his own example, he was very, very strict with women. Even during his household life, he would not even joke with his own wife. Prabhupada mentions just one time, he joked once with his wife about they were trying to find something, and he said, my wife may have that, like that. So it was just one time it was recorded that he joked. But he was very strict. And of course, when he was in sannyas, he was very, very strict. His women disciples couldn't come close to offer obeisances, but they offered obeisances from afar. So in this way, the renunciation is there. And of course, the brahmanas, they're very much renounced. And the kshatriyas are also very much renounced, at least in the last stages of their life. So this path of Varnashrama is the path of renunciation. Whereas outside of that, people are just engaged in sense gratification. And there's no possibility for them to get out of the material world. So Maya is very strong. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that this system of Varnashrama, by having this Varnashrama, she'll probably very much wanted this Varnashrama. In fact, he said in March 12, 1974, that people are being harassed in so many ways. They're being taxed by the government, taxation by the government. There'll be excessive drought, lack of food. In this way, they'll be harassed in so many ways, and they'll simply, in frustration, they'll go to the forest. So, without Krishna consciousness, they'll not be saved. So, we have to have Varnashrama. Prabhupada said, in each of our Krishna conscious center, we must have a Varnashrama college to train four classes of men: Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. In this way, they will become Krishna conscious. So, and then later on, Srila Prabhupada mentioned how by this Krishna consciousness, he said that what we're doing now is on a small scale. We are affecting only a small percentage of the world. But by this Varnashrama, then the whole world could become Krishna conscious. Lord Chaitanya wanted this. Upa Upakara, he wanted the mass benefit of people to be benefited. And the way to do this is by the Varnashrama system. By this, people will become happy. It is possible, but it must be done perfectly. So, Prabhupada also goes on to say that this Varnashrama will create great propaganda against Maya by this Varnashrama. But Maya will create great propaganda against you. And if you are not strong, then you'll succumb. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya daratyaya mameya ye pravanchante mayame tantarantite. This divine energy mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So we have to surrender unto Krishna. This means basically just following the principles that we promised our spiritual master, the four regulated principles, chanting 16 rounds. And this way, having a strong foundation and preaching Krishna consciousness. And this way, we would become happy, and everybody else will become happy. Thank you very much. So, is there any questions for any of these points that I mentioned? Is it Sachin Noy? Huh? Let's take anyone else? Okay, Apoorva. Hey, Apoorva.
I wanted to get some clarity on. You pointed out the four regular principles that were being broken and created a situation. Because I don't know if you mentioned meat eating.
We understand that too. But these principles are mentioned in the first canon, Bhagavatam. Prabhupada breaks them down in that way. How he says that by uncleanness is destroyed by too much female association or prostitution, that untruthfulness is destroyed by gambling, that mercy is destroyed by intoxication, and austerity is destroyed by pride, either real or artificial. So that's how he breaks them down. I went through the whole thing, and that's specifically how he breaks them down. And we can, you could take meat eating to be austerity, because Prabhupada also mentions that, for example, austerity means controlling the eating process. And he mentions in the first canto austerity being observing a codicil, not eating grains, and this way would save so much, produce, like that. But that's also mentioned as a principle of austerity, not eating certain things. So you could also take that as meat eating. But anyway, Prabhupada specifically states when he breaks it down that that austerity refers to pride, too much pride, either artificial or real.
I especially thank you for that clarity, but I especially like your winding down the class about Varnashram, and actually this was, Prabhupada said 50% of his work was not finished until Varnashram was established.
Yeah, I've heard that statement. You know, it's nothing I ever sit down in writing. I like to, everything I say during the class, I like to have it in writing, specifically from Srila Prabhupada. And because sometimes things, you know, that 50%, it's understood. I understand that in the sense that it's the importance of Srila Prabhupada gave it. You know, he said, like, how much of the world we can make Krishna conscious. What we're doing now is very insignificant, you know. But you know, if we want to make the whole world Krishna conscious, then we have to accept this Varnashrama. So, you know, 50% or whatever. But sometimes people make certain statements like that. And when Denver, Colorado, last time Prabhupada was in Denver, Colorado, he said, oh, Prabhupada, you said that grains are for the animals. Only animals eat grains. And everybody was laughing. And Prabhupada said, you see, they say Prabhupada said, and you believe it, rascal. So not that everything people say is rascaldom, but the best situation is to quote from Prabhupada. And even in like Nanda Kumar, he was on the interview with Nanda Kumar, he's Prabhupada's personal servant. He mentioned Prabhupada said to him, "Take if you don't hear from me directly, take it from me as with a grain of salt." Of course, he said Prabhupada said that, but that still proves my point. Like that. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Like the point you were saying about making advancement by serving devotees, and it reminds me of the fifth verse of the Nectar of Instruction, where it says, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worship, the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve the pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others.
Yeah, so there's different types of devotees, and one has to learn how to associate with them according to their qualities. You know, that's discrimination is a better port of valor. Just like a devotee sees that the innocent, the devotees of the Lord, the demons, and Krishna. So he worships Krishna. For the innocent, he preaches to them, he serves the devotees, and he avoids the demons. So we have to discriminate. We have to know how to discriminate. So one has to understand who is a devotee, who is not a devotee, who is advanced and who is not advanced. And the spiritual master is one who is heavy. So that's one of the qualities of the spiritual master. He's heavy with knowledge. Guru means heavy. So such a devotee, one could surrender unto him and serve him. In this way, Krishna consents to be revealed to such a devotee. Yes?
Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Prabhu. So you were mentioning the great sage who is, you know, who is practicing the austerities, you know. Huh? Yeah, so he does not need any shelter. He was saying that this world is temporary.
Yeah, temporary.
It looks like what we are doing now is a little bit contradiction to what the sage were doing, because we are spending so much time and money in building big temples, you know, so many things. So I'm a little bit confused. Can you explain a little bit about this?
Yeah, well, temporary means sense gratification. That's the basic principle of temporary. Anything done for Krishna is for one's eternal benefit.
Thank you for this.
So that's where things, building temple is permanent. So when we build a temple, we please Krishna, and that becomes for our eternal benefit. And then by building a nice temple, then people will be attracted. Just like Prabhupada mentions how in Mayapur, building this nice big temple. What's the point? We could simply ourselves, we could live under a tree. We don't need such a big temple. But who will come to hear us? So by building a nice temple, also, not only do we get the eternal benefit, but others get the eternal benefit of hearing the holy name of the Lord. So they see the temple. Oh, what's this temple? And then they'll come to the temple. They'll hear Krishna. They hear about Krishna. They'll see Krishna. So in this way, it's for the eternal benefit. But if you simply build a nice big skyscraper building, then you're simply wasting your time. Like probably gave the example of, a man who's building a big skyscraper building, spending so much time and toil building this big building. But then he leaves his body, and even though his son is worshiping him, he has his picture on his wall, he offers him honor. But where is he? He's there, but he's simply a cockroach in the toilet. So what's his position? That's temporary. That's a use of useless waste of one's time. So in that way, so the sage was in a particular type of meditation. He was simply absorbed, meditating on Krishna. So in this way, anything else would be simply a waste of time. Okay, Abhay, do you want to say something?
Thank you for this class, please. I'm wondering you give more class tomorrow.
More class?
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu.
We can give more classes. Yes. Any Madhujis? Okay, Brigapati?
Yeah, I second what Abhay said. No, that was a great review of the basic philosophy. It was fabulous. I'm so glad some of these very new devotees were here to hear that. That was really good. I have a question about a sentence in the purport here. Prabhupada says, the personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, and still he was put into doubts by the deluding energy, and thus he refrained from mentioning the Supreme Cause. So my question is, what were the doubts? What doubts was he put into? The personality of religion is referring to Dharma the Bull. What were the doubts that...
I can't specifically say, because without hearing from Prabhupada or the Acharyas, it's simply the mental speculation on my part. Mm-hmm. I just give a few examples. Like, we know that great devotees of the Lord have been put into doubt. To speak, so the philosophy could be spoken of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna was put in a doubt. He was Krishna's personal friend. He's a pure devotee, but he was put into doubt so Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. Maharaj Pariksha was put into doubt so the Bhagavatam could be spoken. Maharaj Yudhisthira was put into doubt so Grandfather Bhishma could speak. So sometimes devotees are put into some special illusions so certain things could be said. But for me to specifically state why the personality of religion was in doubt or what particular doubts they had, I can't really say. Okay? Anybody else have any questions on these points? Okay, thank you very much. O Goloi Shishishi Guru and Gauranga. O Goloi Shila Prabhupada.